It's Tuesday, February 7th, 2017, and yep, the curse of Buffalo lives on. I mean, come on, people. Did you really think that we could win two in a row in Buffalo? I mean, that wouldn't be so Sharks. But this choke job was Buffalo wins 5-4 in overtime. Thanks to Evander Kane, who may not even be with the Buffalo Sabres by the end of the month. With that, welcome to this edition of Pucknology After Dark. We will be joined by Ian Reed in just a jiffy, but first, we want to remind you that we are presented by Audible, an Amazon company, where you can sign up for a free 30-day trial and you can search up to 180,000 audiobooks. Maybe one of them should be How to Hold a Third Period Lead. Maybe they can then loan it out to the Toronto Maple Leafs afterwards. You get a free book, you help support the show, everyone wins. So visit audibletrial.com/PAD to sign up today. Of course, we also want you to subscribe. This is a live interactive Sharks post-game show after every game. For more Sharks news and opinions, and hopefully there'll be more coming soon, visit pucknology.net. You can also visit our social media channels on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, SoundCloud, and, of course, Ian's Pucknology Writers Room. With us tonight, the angry Canadian, and I wouldn't be surprised if he's really angry tonight, Ian Reed.
I think I have to be calm for the two of us.
Well, I'm glad we'll have.
Has to be calm. So I'm the calm here. Or
what you're the calm one. I will be the angry hockey person. It'll be huge. And trust me, folks. After that display of garbage in the third period, well, actually, we should say that. So Falcons. But make sure you join the conversation by using the hashtag PucknologyAD on the Twitter machine. You can also follow us on Twitter. Tonight you have iReadPucknology and yours truly at PuckGuy14. You can also chat on the YouTube page and on the app as well. All right, that being said, I'm going to do my best that I can. Try not to make sure it's not super salty edition, but Ian, your initial thoughts after this embarrassment to humankind?
See, I don't think it was that bad. I think that, honestly, I mean, it's bad, but I don't think it's as bad as it's being made out to be. Jones just had a really shitty night. You know, he looked okay. Like, I thought he looked pretty decent. I thought the Sharks pretty much had their way with Buffalo through most of the game. But when things turned around, like, I didn't like any of those last three goals that, well, maybe not the overtime one. I guess the overtime one probably wasn't terrible, but the two before that, forget, even take the, you know, the inconclusive icing out of the situation. I thought they were soft.
They looked like a team that was just got into town the night before or the day before and had a lead and then went, we got this. Hey, come on. Why would we do that? Come on. Yeah. All right. So first period, Sharks get on the board, or, well, they thought they did. Timo Meier fired the puck in the net and the Sharks get on the board 1-0. Oh, wait. Oh, no. I'm sorry. We have a review to announce.
There's no review. It's not a reviewable play.
Oh, but why do they need to go to Toronto for it then? Yeah, okay.
He just has to tell the war room that he blew his whistle or he intended to blow his whistle. We shouldn't spend too much time on this because, honestly, this is something that happens all the time.
Yes, it does. Scary.
It's right, but I mean, it's human error. I thought that Jamie Baker on the broadcast tried to make like this false equivalence of, well, if it was offside, we could go back 20 seconds. The difference between offside or goaltender interference and this is goal. Offsides are illegal. Goaltender interference is illegal. The referee blowing the whistle too quick isn't illegal. It's just human error, and humans make mistakes. And I understand it's shitty, especially looking back that, yes, this, you know, obviously the way we've seen it, the ref shouldn't have blown the whistle, but the ref's human at the end of the day. This is a call that happens all the time. I really, 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 and I was on this on Twitter, and I know it's not the most popular opinion, and that's fine. But in my opinion, like, do we really want to add more replay, you know, more reviews to slow down this game even more? Like, are we not, like, the last thing I think a lot of sports need to do, I think if you look at other sports that have really, you know, upped their review processes on different plays, it slows down the game. And I would rather have a quick game with human error than watch 5 minutes of referees looking at an iPod.
I mean, that review in the third period, and we'll get back and we'll get to that a little bit later, more in depth. But that review shouldn't have taken 3 minutes.
No,
I mean, I think in the NFL they have they're supposed to have a time limit on how long they can review it, and I think that's what they need to go through in the NHL, because a lot of these are taking forever, especially the challenges on offsides. This is the picture that Brody Brazil tweeted out and was gracious enough to allow us to use it. So yes, we do have express written consent. The
Major League Baseball.
As you can see, the puck is already in the net. I think it already had hit the back of the net, and this is when, according to Brody, when the audio for the whistle was starting to go.
Doesn't matter, though. It's irrelevant. If the referee loses sight and he intends to blow the whistle, we know that's the rule. It right. sucks, but that's the rule. It doesn't matter. I mean, we could
look, I'm just putting this out there. That's all.
No, I know. And I think it's fine, but I really think that at the end of the day, it's a red herring. If the referee intends to blow the whistle, play's dead. Doesn't matter if you blew it too quick, too soon, too late. It is what it is. It's human
In correct me on this. This is throughout Canadian juniors, international play, NHL.
North American hockey, for sure. I can't speak for Europe.
Okay. That's why I wanted to know where the intent goes. Like Chris Jado, yes. Sharks won the popular vote. Yes, of course. Yes. Anywho, so no goal. I think the Sharks were a little frustrated after that, and it led to Jumbo taking a holding call. And the joke there, of course, was he didn't intend to hold the guy, but he ended up getting a penalty for it.
Right.
Matt Molsonberry's in for his 11th of the season at 7:24 from Gionta Ennis, make it 1-0. I thought the Sharks were still a little frazzled out of that, and I thought, oh boy, this could be one of those games where they're just out of it from the get-go just because of a bad call, which we've seen before.
Mm-hmm. Bad calls happen.
Yeah.
They're a fact of life. I mean, I don't know. I there are so many more things wrong with this game than the referees, in my opinion. Like,
oh, no. Yeah, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. But I thought the guys got back on track once Joel Ward tipped in Burnsy's shot for his sixth of the year, 14:03 of the first. I thought, okay, cool. They're getting it back. And then Logan gets his 19th of the year. Logan's starting to kind of get things going a little bit more, which is good. From Bodker and Vlasic, and this is the one I liked, Ian, was Bodker did the anti-Jumbo, where Jumbo will get to near the top of the face-off circle, turn around, and wait for help to come aboard. Right. But Bodker went to the net, put it on net, and because of this team speed that they have on this line, Couture was able to grab it and bury it.
Yeah, no, it was nice. I mean, there was 50 minutes of really good hockey there for the Sharks.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Second, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Nope. Go on.
Oh, okay. Sorry about that. Melker Carlson buries a loose puck that I think Haley was trying to set up Sorensen for, but it went off of Sorensen's skate, which means Marcus Sorensen, who we thought would be actually on the opening night roster, plays in his first NHL game, gets his first NHL point.
Yeah. I mean, I thought Sorensen looked okay for his first game in the NHL. I thought, you know, he looked like he had a lot of zip. I didn't really have a problem with Sorensen's game. But Carlson giveth and then Carlson taketh away.
Yeah, no, that fourth line, I thought, played an excellent 2.5 periods tonight.
Yeah, no, I thought they were great. Carlson just, I mean, if we want to get to there, I mean, Carlson just made a boneheaded mistake and something that you just can't do in the NHL. You can't throw a stick. People were like, well, that's a really dumb rule, and it isn't, because they kind of, I mean, they don't, you know, the NHL's smart and they don't put situations on thing. What used to happen a lot was if someone shot an open net, people just start whipping their sticks down the net to try and knock it away from the open net, and someone was obviously going to get killed eventually by people javelining their sticks down the ice to try and stop a puck from going in. So they made it a penalty, and I think that you know, it was harmless, and it was like, you know, it's like, I think I tweeted after, I'm like, the road to hell is paved in good intentions. I mean, he had the right idea. He just, you have to hand it off. You can't throw the stick.
Right. You gotta get it all the way over there to make it. You can't throw the stick. And it's likewise when you throw it the other way around. If you're trying to stop a defender, like you were mentioning,
that's my pucknology wrong choice.
Good call. Coming up for many of you, the three poop emojis of the game. That'll be coming up in just a second. But first, the Sharks actually scored a power play goal. Yes, we're banging the drum for AJ here. Pavelski on a sweet one timer. At 6:07, made it 4-1, and you're thinking, all right, we're going to get back-to-back wins in Buffalo. Take that, Sabres.
And well, everything looked that way. I mean, the whole team was just like, I didn't think Buffalo goalie was that great. I thought, like, I didn't really think much of some of the goals. Like, I think it was the first goal, and I'm like, that is not a goal an NHL goalie should let in, period. Yeah, they had the game well in hand.
Yeah, they did, and they should have. O'Reilly with his 11th on the power play after Burns takes a hooking call. You kind of started seeing, okay, this is, okay, we're still a hockey game here. Right. And then, of course, Melker, you know, takes that good intention penalty. I mean, they didn't score on it, but it was like not even a half a minute later that Evander Kane scores from Franson and Gionta, and then all of a sudden now it's 4-3. You can hear, you know, Rick Jenneret from here going, oh my God, can they make the comeback? and then not even a minute later, Kyle Okposo, which I thought was a bad defensive breakdown and bad communication on the team to tie it up at 4.
Yeah. And was that the reviewed goal that tied up before? Is that the one that wins 3?
It was 4-3.
4-3, yeah. And see, even that, like, I know, again, you know, a lot of people were like, oh, inconclusive. That never goes our way. I'm surprised it was inconclusive. I thought from the replay I saw that it was clearly onside.
But it looked onside. I mean, I could see why some people were saying, well, he doesn't have possession of the puck, but the puck was still in the zone. Out. Yeah. So. I could see why there was concern for it, but nonetheless, it is what it is. So you had three breakdowns on the three goals in the third. You had Carlson, you know, with the toss, which might have distracted Jones for that matter, to get it to 4-2. Then you are fighting the momentum off from Buffalo, and you're wondering, hey, is it offside? You know, Kane makes a 4-3. Of course, PDB reviews it, which is nice because I think more than anything, that was more for a timeout. I'm not sure if you knew.
It was kind of like, why is he reviewing this play? But yeah, I mean, it worked out for him. He got a 3-minute timeout out of it. And That's exactly why I hate this rule.
Yeah, and seriously, it should be. Yeah, I'm still iffy on the offside reviews. And then Okposo, a minute later, you saw it coming. Pavelski looked like he was going to take the middleman, and Braun was already getting the middleman. And when Pavelski was trailing and taking the middleman, that left Okposo wide open for that shot. And I was like, I saw him set up for. I was like, ah, crap, here it comes. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, Joner got a piece of it, but that was tough. Yeah, and then in overtime, Evander Kane, a minute five into overtime, sends Buffalo into Excitementville.
Right.
You know, Kane had a great game. Two goals, nice shots. But, man, you pick up a point, but, man, that one's a tough one to take.
Yeah, I just there's a whole bunch of stuff. I mean, I don't know. This game was so frustrating to me. I just think I think it just frustrates me for different reasons than other people, and I don't know why that is, but it is what it is.
Yeah.
I just think Martin Jones was fucking terrible tonight. And I think if you want to, you can talk about defensive breakdowns and stuff, but you know, your last line of defense is your goaltender, and Martin Jones didn't make saves that he normally makes, and he looked really off this game. And even, you know, the last game he looked, you know, he didn't look that great in the shootout. Now, granted, you know, I said too, it's a shootout, big fucking deal. It's a skills competition, but I don't know. Like, he hasn't really seen. I don't know. He seemed off tonight, and I really hope that Aaron Dell starting the next game, because he just looks unfocused, and I don't know what that is or why that is. I don't know.
Yeah, and the guys are going to have some time down the road to rest before they go through their hellacious march. But I just think that it'd be best for them to get more starts out of Dell, because, I mean, if you're going to have Jones start 70 games, that's just asking for trouble.
Yeah, I don't know. Rob Humphrey in the chat saying it's the new pants. It's the new pants.
Well, they are 0-0-2 now.
That's true. Apparently, though, Jones had been wearing them a couple. He said that he had been wearing them a couple of weeks. So,
yeah, going into the chat. Let's see here. Yeah, Rob Iman agrees with you. I'd start Aaron Dell on Thursday to send a message.
I didn't think he would send a message. It's a thing like, look, you don't need to send a message to Martin Jones. Martin Jones knows he had a shitty game. And without Martin Jones, this team's a complete clusterfuck halfway through the year, in my opinion. Like, the Jones is a big part of the reason the Sharks are where they are right now. And to just completely, like, look, and I'm pretty pissed off at him tonight. I think he had a shitty game, but
yeah.
You know, I'm not going to just, I don't know. I don't have the memory of a goldfish that seems to be talkie fans where they only remember the last three games and that's it. Like, I don't know.
Niemi and Leitinen called. They want their goaltending and performance back, I think is probably the best way to put it. Gen X going, ay, caramba. Yes. Very nice. You know, Rob makes another good point here. Maybe make the offside challenge a delay of game penalty if they lose the challenge. That would be... Your thoughts on that?
Just get rid of it. If you're gonna, if you don't gimmick it up more, get rid of it. Yeah. If you have to gimmick it up more, then it's not worth... Is it worth it? No.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a league that cries that it wants more scoring, and then it overturns an offside for you know, something you can't even exactly see with the naked eye. Like, I don't know.
And this is where we have all the goal, you know, all the cameras all over the place, on the blue lines, in the posts, in the back of the net. So to cover up the stats, the Sharks outshot Buffalo 40-36. They actually,
that's a better hockey.
Yeah, they played the better game. They even outdid in the face-off circle 60% to 40. And they had a great name in the face-off circle, although Jumbo was 20%, Logan was 33%, Michael Haley was 75% in the face-off circle, Mark Carlson was perfect in the face-off circle. I mean, it was overall, outside of Wardo at 43, Couture, and Jumbo, this team had a great night in the face-off circle, for sure.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, I know we've kind of been, I don't know if we've talked about it on air, I'm sure we have, but like, the face-off drum's one I think we beat too hard, because this team is still a solid possession team. And some of the best face-off teams in the league are the worst teams in the league. So maybe we've banged that drum a little too hard.
Oh, wow. Chester Chivo. Oh, boy. Might as well show this off.
Oh, no.
Chester Chivo, unfortunately, you win the tweet of the night. The Sharks' new alternate logo. Ouch. Ouch, ouch, ouch. Creative, but that's painful. Yeah, definitely. All right. Sharks went one for three on the power play on that goal from Pavelski. They did give up two, which their penalty kill has been improving as of late, but unfortunately, they gave up two power play goals to Buffalo. And let's be real. Buffalo is a team on the rise. Don't let their position in the Eastern Conference fool you. They're going to be good. They may not be good right now, but they are just only 5 points out of a playoff spot too. So,
like, there's what, 7 points separating the worst team in the East from the second wild card or something like that.
It's like Philly's at 59 and last place Tampa and Detroit are at 54 along with Buffalo.
Yeah.
So there you go. I think Steve Dangle said in one of his videos, is like, you get on a hot streak 1 week, you're right back in the playoff race.
Yeah, no, so. It's completely true. And the thing with Buffalo too is people have to remember is they spent, you know, a lot of that early time in the year when they were just free falling. Jack Eichel wasn't there, and since Eichel's come back, they've kind of been somewhat respectable. And Eichel, Ryan O'Reilly. As much as I hate to admit it, Evander Kane, I mean, these guys are all dangerous.
And Kyle Okposo.
And Kyle Okposo, too, which they got for. Yeah.
And these guys made a major play for Stamkos. I mean, just picture Stamkos on this team with these guys. Oh, my goodness.
Man, they still need someone to play defense.
That's true. So with the point, granted they get the loser point, the Sharks do go to 70 on the year. So at least they're not losing games horribly. Ian, why don't we go around the NHL while I get the standings updated?
Oh, you want me to go around the NHL? All right, give me a second. I got to find them. Go bring it up.
Just as a reminder, make sure you subscribe down below or to the side or wherever it's at. We are a live interactive Sharks post-game show. We follow after every game. There are four Pacific Division teams played early games this afternoon, although now it's evening out here in the West Coast.
I was going to say afternoon.
Well, it started the afternoon here, so.
Out there, I understand.
Yeah.
But I understand how the time zones work now. Little me didn't, but big me does. All right, so St. Louis destroyed the Ottawa Senators by a score of 6-0. I think the Blues are what? I think they're 2-1 now since getting rid of Hitchcock. Yeah. The Toronto Maple Leafs beat the Dallas Stars by a score of 3-1. The Washington Capitals beat Drew Weber's Carolina Hurricanes 5-0. In overtime, so Calgary won in overtime and go over Pittsburgh. The New York Rangers beat the Anaheim Ducks by a score of 4-1. Currently in the second period, the Colorado Avalanche lead the Montreal Canadiens by a score of 2-0. The Minnesota Wild are beating the Winnipeg Jets in the third period by a score of 3-2. And finally, the Nashville Predators are currently beating the Vancouver Canucks in the third period by a score of 2-1.
Did somebody say Vancouver?
I just did.
Thank you.
And that is your Around the Score leagues. Not a whole lot exciting going on, obviously. See if anything else is going on that I'm missing.
Julien got fired today in the middle of a...
Yes, Claude Julien got fired today.
in the middle of the Patriots parade.
I was having fun listening to the media complain. Oh, and the... Sorry, I didn't scroll far enough over. I have more end results to tell about.
Oh, go ahead.
The Tampa Bay Lightning destroyed the LA Kings by a score of 5-0. And the Columbus Blue Jackets beat the Detroit Red Wings in overtime by a score of 3-2.
Ooh.
And there you have it. Now I've really, for real, got you up to speed.
Thank you, Ian Reed. And with that, we will pull up the standings as we speak. Thank you for covering for me at that time. So the Sharks do pick up the point. They are at 70 points. They have a four-point cushion on Anaheim, which Ian said lost tonight to the Rangers. Edmonton was idle, if I'm not mistaken, correct?
Yes, they were idle tonight.
Okay, so they'll hang on to a four-point lead going into tomorrow's action. Calgary moves up to 59 points, and they take over the first wild card. LA loses, so they stay at 58. Vancouver, at the moment, sits at 52. And watch out, here come the Desert Dogs. They're at 40 points. They're only...
They don't play the Sharks enough times to make the playoffs.
No. They're only 26 points behind the third position in the Pacific. So, of course, as we would say, if the season ended today, which we're technically into that territory that we could talk about it, the Sharks would take on the Calgary Flames in round one.
Can't win. I mean they should win, but that's just like, I feel bad because like, I mean, at least it's kind of working like it should. I think in the West, I think in the East, I think the East, you're probably kind of screwed depending on who you play. Because if you're like, if you're in the Central, in the Metro, you're going to have to play a really good team where whoever finishes second in the Atlantic is like that second, third matchup is going to be between two garbage teams, and then a really good team is going to get put out in the Metro. So it is what it is.
So here's the matchups in the East, and I'm going to kind of play with it here. So Washington is at 80 points. They would take on the Flyers, so it would be a rematch of round one of last year. Columbus and Pittsburgh would play each other again like they did 2 years ago. It would be Montreal against the Rangers, and technically the Rangers have one more point than Montreal does at the moment. And then it would be the Battle of Ontario. It would be Ottawa versus Toronto. Oh my goodness, wouldn't that be fun?
I guess. I mean, I don't think Ottawa's very good. I don't know.
But why? But how are they hanging on to that number two spot?
Because the Atlantic's brutal. Like, look at the Atlantic Division. Like, what do you got there? You've got the Panthers, who have completely fallen off this year. The Lightning, who have ridiculous. I mean, forget falling off. They've basically been like, they're sleeping with the fish at this point. There's like cement around their feet. They're at the bottom of the river. They're not coming back. You got Boston, who just fired their coach and who's had a mediocre year at best, probably better than they should, you know? And so that leaves you what? Basically Montreal, Toronto, Ottawa. I mean, the Atlantic's terrible. It really is.
Yeah. I'm surprised by the Atlantic. I mean, obviously Montreal has a division lead, but I thought there would be more.
Yeah. Well, Tampa, I mean, both Tampa and Florida lost serious pieces to injuries at the start of the year for a significant amount of times. Like, they just got Huberto back, and they got someone else back too. Barkov, yes. And then Tampa lost Stamkos, and I feel like they've had just a rotation of guys coming in and out of the lineup. So... When you take on the injuries that a couple of these teams have taken, I mean, it can derail your whole season. And I think that's really what happened there. You know, Ottawa, they might not be the best team as far as like on paper goes, but they seem to find a way to get things done. Toronto's got a lot of exciting young talent on it, and you know, maybe they're a little bit ahead of schedule, but you know, the kind of the surrounding situation too. And then Detroit, who I didn't even mention, is also terrible. I mean, it's the perfect storm for, you know, teams that are just mediocre enough to kind of rise to the top. And I think Ottawa definitely fits the bill. And I think the Leafs kind of fit the bill, even though the Leafs are probably a lot more fun to watch than the Senators.
They are, but they've given up so many leads in the third. And for that matter, I think it's like they've allowed 21 goals in their last four games. That's not good. Even Dallas is laughing at them as we speak.
Yeah.
And they beat Dallas tonight.
M. Hackle saying that Tampa should trade Stamkos. No one is trading for that contract, my friend. Unless you're a cash-rich team, you're not taking that contract on because it's all signing bonus.
How much is he against the cap? Or is it an average?
It doesn't matter. You still make whatever your signing bonus is still counts against the cap. The difference is that you'd want to be on a cash-rich team because if there's a lockout, he's still getting paid millions. Like, I think he's getting paid a stupid amount of millions of dollars because it's a signing bonus.
Weren't they supposed to get rid of that during this last lockout? I thought that was their big to-do.
No, because they have term limits now. Before, they could just really fudge the numbers. But, I mean, he still counts, but I think, against like 7 or 8 against the cap. But his actual salary, I think, is only $1 million each year, and whatever else he's making that year is all signing bonus. So he gets that money regardless of whether, you know, the league gets locked out. He still gets paid.
Goodness gracious. Oh, man. Yeah, an average, an AAV or the cap hits at 8.5 mil.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, so it'd take Logan Couture and what, maybe Mikhail Bodker to Tampa for Stamkos. Let's get that right.
yes, here, take. Well, I mean, not that I think Logan Couture is garbage, but
no, Logan I'm just putting that out there.
No, they're not taking Bodker.
No,
they're going to take Logan Couture, and then they're going to take another prospect just to wash it down.
Well, you know, Toronto was really interested in Vasatoskla, and Doug said, well, if you want Vasatoskla, then you got to take Mark Bell.
Well, that was before the salary. I mean, that was before the salary cap got to the point where it is now.
Yeah, no, I agree. I'm just, you know, there's that possibility to it. So we've kind of went over all of that. In the West, you would have Minnesota would be taking on Minnesota would take on the Nashville Predators in round one. So you'd have the turn of the century expansion rivalry. And then it would be Chicago and St. Louis. How did St. Louis, with those two wins in a row, they beat Ottawa 6-0. Jeez. They moved into the number three spot just like that.
Yeah.
I mean, so it would be Chicago, St. Louis, Minnesota, Nashville, San Jose, Carolina. Got Drew Weber excited for a second there. San Jose, Calgary, and Anaheim, Edmonton. And I know Janice is like, well, the sun exploded tomorrow. Yeah, okay, I know that, but still. I mean, those are all pretty nice playoff matches. You have geographical rivalries. You have old rivalries coming back into play, like San Jose, Calgary, or Ottawa and Toronto. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's still, I think the one thing that I do like about this playoff setup, and I know a lot of people don't, but I feel like you always get that, you know, the first round is usually pretty good because you're generally playing a team that you hate. And I know some people don't like that because, you know, obviously you get tired of seeing the same teams all the time. Like, you know, at some point, you know, LA is going to sneak back into this thing and then we'll be playing LA and everyone would be like, ah, LA again. God, why? But I like that. I kind of like that, you know, the kind of the forced rivalry where you're always playing, like, you know, everyone in your division you should probably hate at this point. So I think it does a good job of kind of making the first round more intriguing. And then after the first round, it kind of takes care of itself, right? Like, obviously, by the time you get, especially once you get to the conference finals, I mean, you're either going to be invested or you're not at that point anyway. If your team's in it, obviously you're invested. And then if, you know, and depending on what your level of hockey fandom is, I mean, I'll watch the cup final, you know, all the way through. I don't care if the Sharks are bounced in first round or the third round. Like, I'm still going to watch the rest of it. The only year I didn't watch the rest of the playoffs, I think, is the series that never happened, because I was just really wounded by that.
Oh, that one.
I'm not going to bring it up. It never happened.
I know which one you're talking about. Yeah.
Right. And then I think at that point I was like, yeah, I can't deal. I was so bitter at that point. I'm just I can't even watch.
I think we all were. We apparently have a sponsor for it. Apparently it's time now for the X-Lax 3 poop emojis of the game.
Nice.
Let's go with poop emoji number 3. Who would you say that was, Ian?
Poop emoji number 3. Oh, man. I have to go with 3 of these things. Jeez. Who do I hate today? No, it's fine. I'm not really mad at anybody. I can't just give them all to Martin Jones. So what am I going to do? I don't know.
I'll start this one off. I'll start with poop emoji number 3. Logan Couture went, oh shit, I need to get back. It's a 2-on-1. We're not playing 5-on-5. You know, that kind of helped set up the game-winning goal. At least I thought. You have one for number 2?
Yeah, it's Martin Jones, hands down. If Martin I give Jones, you a poop emoji, it's Jonesy. Man, Jonesy, look it. I love Jonesy, and I don't think that, you know, we shouldn't really, like, as angry as I am with him right now, I don't think we should really, you know, carry this forward any further than tonight. Tonight was a bad night. And hopefully he improves, and hopefully he gets a rest. Yeah, I mean, Jones wasn't himself tonight, and I don't care what the team looked like in front of him. He just wasn't good enough, period. So he gets my poop emoji for sure.
And since you gave him number 2, which technically should be number 1, because number 2, poop emoji, kind of seems like the top billing of it. So first poop emoji, I got to... It's a tie between Melker and Pavs. Melker, you know, obviously didn't know the rules. Like we said, good intentions, but...
Oh, yeah, good intention. You can't really give him... I mean, he's so... And I thought about going with Melker Carlson so you could poop emoji...
Joner,
but I just... You know what? Yeah, it was dumb, and yeah, he should know the damn rules of the NHL at this point, but... it's such a weird gaffe for him. Like, it's not like the one thing Melker Carlson, the thing I really like about Melker Carlson is he's steady. He doesn't make mistakes.
Right.
And so I really feel bad, you know, being like, oh, well, you know, I did give him the misplay of the game, but you know, to just really say you were the shittiest player on the ice tonight. I can't go there. I just can't do it.
And the thing is that a lot of these guys forward wise had a good game. Couture had a goal. Carlson had a goal. Pavelski had a goal. But they also had...
Call it a night, then?
I'm sorry?
I say, can we just blame Brendan Dillon and call it a night, then?
Do you really want to upset Rocket and have her come on? Yeah,
I'm not scared of Rocket.
Somebody have that isolated so we can play that later for her.
She knows I ain't scared.
Dude,
I don't know. I don't know if Dillon actually did anything bad, but I'm gonna blame him anyway.
Do we have any update on Paul Martin? That's what I was gonna try and look up here.
That's a good question, because I didn't really notice him after he took the puck to the face. So hopefully that's not anything significant. Although I'm kind of like, this makes me a terrible effing human being, but there's a part of me who's like really like, yeah, you know, if we get a look at if we get a look at Joakim Ryan now because of that, I'm not exactly going to complain. I know that makes me a terrible human being.
No, I know what you're getting at, and I totally understand.
Oh, he did
that.
Get back. Dustin said he did come back after getting hit. So there we go. I didn't really pay attention for him. I mean, Paul Martin plays such a quiet game that, you know, unless he really screws up or unless he does something really great, you don't really notice him out there anyway, because the spotlight's obviously going to be on his defensive partner.
Yeah. And he took a shot earlier in the game, so you have that against him. Then he takes the high stick where he goes off. That was concerning. The other thing, too, is I'm kind of surprised that the spotter didn't want to go take a look at Martin Jones in overtime.
It's funny because until I saw that front view, I was like, oh, look, Martin Jones learned something from Mike Smith. But then I saw the front view where he took the shoulder and then like, oh, okay, all right, maybe. Oh. Well, but from the back view, I was like, what is he, like, why is he flopping?
Right.
And I saw the front view, I'm like, okay, maybe I'm being a little bit more, you know, too much of a dick to poor Joner tonight. But at first I thought for sure, I'm just like, man, you go one net against freaking Mike Smith and look what happens.
Yeah. Now if he can shoot more accurately next time, so that way he doesn't like just hand it to Shifley for a goal. I thought one more thing. Team O'Meyer had a pretty solid game.
Yeah, I mean, I think Kevin LeBanc going down kind of said, look, you know, if doesn't matter who you are, Kevin LeBanc is clearly the prospect that the coaching staff seems to be highest on, but you know, that sends a message like nobody's safe when you send a guy like that down. So I think, you know, I think Timo knows that if, you know, there's guys knocking on the door to come up, mm-hmm. you know, Kevin LeBanc is probably going to have himself a hell of a game tomorrow. Nikolai Goldobin has played like 20 something games of just ridiculously good hockey. I mean, there's guys banging on the door to come up. Barclay Gaudreau, another guy who, you know, who's played decently on the AHL level, right. He'd get a call. There's guys waiting to take those spots. If you can't fill them, there are guys that will come up and take those spots. And as long as Donskoy's out, you know, there's spots open for the taking. So, yeah, I think that, you know, I think there was somewhat of a message being sent there. And I think Timo got the message loud and clear. And it's unfortunate that he got killed by an early whistle and then, you know, was used as like a jet ski, like, you know, just, you know, kind of jet skiing behind on the boat there. The guy was, you know, holding onto his sweater, just kind of riding him into the zone. Like, it's kind of shitty that, you know, those kind of happened to him, like both things happened to him, but it is what it is.
Mike Nevis in the chat says, goalie's never coming up. PDB, not a goalie fan. Do you think that? I mean, he had a cup of coffee early last season, but is it because I don't know what it could be because of.
You know what? Honestly, I think the answer that question will come at the trade deadline. I think if the Sharks are going to try and get a piece, then Goldobin could be a guy that they could use. If Peter DeBoer is never going to use him, then what's the point of keeping around his value? Like right now with how he's been in the AHL, like obviously there's, you know, that's AHL, not NHL, but still,
right.
If you're not going to give him a look in the NHL, his value is as high as it's probably going to get right now.
Yeah.
So, but still, I think if, you know, I don't know. It depends on what's in the plan, right?
But wouldn't you want to have Goldobin up in the NHL to kind of boost his trade value a little bit just to see what he's like, because
if Peter DeBoer is going to play him for 4 minutes, then what's the point?
Well, that's true. That is a good point. If you're going to only play him 4 minutes, then it's not really worth it. Just kind of have that curiosity of sorts. But to me, I kind of almost sense with all these guys coming up, it's kind of a showcase of some sort where you have all these rookies out there. So if there is some sort of, you know, trade in the works and they kind of want to see the kids up in the big leagues.
Not even trade though either. I think another thing that people are overlooking, like, yeah, I mean, obviously it's trade season, so everyone's gonna think trade. These are additions for next year. There's gonna be spots next year for these guys to take. So, you know, for some of these guys are getting addition. You know, these guys are getting additions for next season, and I wouldn't rule that out either.
Yeah,
I don't think Goldobin's played this year.
Goldie hasn't played this year. He played this year.
He did get a cup of coffee last year.
Yeah, which was early on. I think he actually played in that Islanders game where Ben Smith got hurt. Yes, Ben Smith was a Shark early last season too. Kind of going through the chat here, Dell will handle it just like Budai. I think Dell deserves to have more chances, and I'm pretty sure he will get some in March.
Every time I read an article about how the Sharks need to do something with their goaltending, I want to punch people in the throats. And
yeah,
I love you, but I don't know what you're talking about today.
Jay Clark, Goodrow did play one game at Winnipeg?
Yeah, he played. Yeah. He did play.
Yeah.
But I mean, he kicked Peter DeBoer's dog. So if someone kicked your dog, you wouldn't play them either.
let's see. What else? Where was it? Oh, Chester Chivo saying, from what I understand, President Trump is a huge fan of Goldie. Oh, man. Mike Nevis saying, and I'll let you do this since you're the Barracuda guru. Mm-hmm. How the hell does Marcus Sorensen get in before Goldie? It says a lot.
Because the one thing with Goldie, in my opinion, is that Goldie is kind of a top six or bust character, and I don't think they want to mess with their top six right now. Marcus Sorensen comes in with – he's a rookie in North America, but he's not a rookie. He has plenty of professional hockey under his belt, and I think it was – on a road trip like this where, you know, the teams aren't as heavy, I think Zach said this last night on the writer's room too, where the teams aren't as heavy, these are perfect games to give a guy like Sorensen a look in, because he's more responsible that you can throw him on your third, fourth line.
Yeah. And I agree with that. I think Goldie is a top six, and the only way that he does get called up is if there's somebody in the top six, wouldn't you say? If somebody in the top six goes down...
I think Goldobin should have been given a look in the top six before Hurdle came back and kind of like, I was really surprised that Hurdle didn't get a look, or sorry, not Hurdle, but Goldobin didn't get a look up there before Hurdle came back. Personally, I'm not a huge fan. Like, I still think Bodker's an expendable piece on that second line, mm-hmm. but you know, it seems to be working, so I'm fine with them leaving it alone. But I also would like to see, you know, Goldobin with Marlowe and Couture. I think that could be a fun line too.
Oh, big time.
But it is what it is.
My question is this, considering how they were pretty much rolling four lines tonight, mm-hmm. whenever Jonas Donskoy gets back,
right,
where is he going into the lineup? Is he going to just be reinserted into the second line, or where do you put him?
Here's what I think. So Ryan Carpenter, I think, stays up until Donskoy's back. Okay. I think once Donskoy comes back, Carpenter goes down. I think if Hemo's still here, he plays on that, probably on that fourth line. Donskoy will play with Hurdle and I guess Carlson. And then your bottom line is going to be, or maybe Ward. And then maybe Ward, and then Carlson, and then I see like a Carlson, Haley, Hemo fourth line thing is what I would expect to see with Carpenter going back down. I personally would rather see Carpenter play over Haley, but that's, you know, again, it goes back to roles, and this is the role that obviously Peter DeBoer likes Haley in. I think the fact that Haley's drawn into the lineup the last two games over Carpenter is telling. And I think it's unfortunate. I think Carpenter really looks really good on that fourth line center. And I would much rather see Carpenter there than Haley, because I think they can both play, you know, they can both, obviously Carpenter's not going to go and beat you up like Haley does, but I'd still, if Haley's still drawing into lineup regularly come playoffs, I'm going to be very pissed off. Like, I'm fine with it regular season, but when you hit the playoffs, when guys like that just have no purpose anymore, I'm going to be pissed off to see him still drawing it.
And you make a good point there. Do you think that it's more strategy with Haley being in for certain games and Carpenter being in, like, in certain games? Like, I mean, obviously you would have Haley, I guess, more so playing Buffalo if you have the option. Or not Buffalo,
no,
playing Edmonton. No, yeah. playing Edmonton. But then you would have Carpenter maybe playing more against the speedier teams.
Well, I mean, and that, we didn't see that tonight. Buffalo's a pretty fast team, as we saw tonight. Like, look at the ways they basically, you know, pulled odd man rushes and then just blew past the defenseman. Yeah. Is that a game you really want Haley in? I don't think so. But when you look at how Peter DeBoer deploys this line, I mean, Haley's the guy, whether we like it or not. And I know, you know, I don't want to completely 180 because I was very much on the, not that I was on Team Haley, but I understood it to the point where I was done arguing about it or done bitching about it every show online. Like, I don't like to have these repetitive talking points that others do.
Wow. You know,
yeah, I don't know, man.
To quote Mike Nevis saying, another TSN quality breakdown. Thanks, Ian.
Yeah, no problem.
Which Gen X says, TSN quality breakdown. I didn't see Ian break out a monkey or shoot someone in the crotch with the t-shirt cannon.
Yeah, you know, we're working on the t-shirt cannon.
We'll borrow one from Sharky.
I need to find something that I can shoot in the crotch on camera here locally, obviously, since I can't shoot people in the crotch through the internet. But we're working on it.
Just borrow one of the Greyhounds and I think it'll be okay. They need some grit and strength, right? We need more grit, right? Somebody asked in the chat earlier, is Columbus a buyer or a seller? I would think they would be a buyer more than anything else, right?
Ideally, I think they'd be a buyer, but they've got a lot of dead cap space on their books, and it might come back and bite them now that they're actually decent.
Now, what do you think for this deadline? Because there's a little more twist to it because of the expansion draft. Do you think that there's going to be more moves at the deadline? Or less.
I think the deadline itself is going to just be the normal dreadful awfulness that it always is. But I wouldn't be surprised to see like a bunch of moves heading up to the deadline, kind of like we did last year, where like everything happened the week before, and then when the actual deadline came itself, nothing really went down.
Right.
There's some teams that are going to have to make some interesting moves, flat out. Like they have to make moves. Either they need to trade players to, you know, they need to trade some player rights to Vegas, which I don't know how that would even work. Like, you know, it's like you're playing and then they trade you to Vegas for next year and you're done playing for the year. I don't know.
I didn't know that was even remotely possible.
Well, I guess they apparently they're allowed to start like making deals and stuff like at the trade deadline. So that's my understanding. I'd have to go double check that. But this is the situation where you could see, you know, if teams can't make deals for guys, like obviously, look, you look at a team like Pittsburgh, for example, if they can't move Marc-Andre Fleury, Matt Murray's gone.
Really? Like, you think Matt Murray's gone? You think Matt Murray's gone?
They can't protect him. They have to protect Fleury. He has a no move.
Oh, gosh.
So if they can't move Marc-Andre Fleury, then Vegas can take Matt Murray from them. And I think if you're Pittsburgh, you don't want that. So either they have to move Fleury or they're going to have to do like we did, except it's going to cost them a lot more. But remember when the Thrashers and the Wild that came in at the same time?
Thrashers were a year separate. It was Wild and Blue Jackets that came the same time.
Because I remember one, like we had to make two, the Sharks made two trades to protect Nabokov.
Right. I think it was 2000 with Wild and Blue Jackets.
Okay, so I couldn't remember exactly what it was, but I remember distinctly the Sharks making two moves where they're like, hey, you know, we can't protect this prospect goalie, but we don't want you to take him, so take this and, you know, on the understanding you won't take. Now, for Pittsburgh, like, Evgeny Nabokov hadn't even played an NHL game at that point yet, I don't think.
Right.
So for Pittsburgh, who has a goalie who may have backstopped you to a Stanley Cup, might take you a little more to make sure that you don't lose that, you know, you don't lose that player. It's not going to be just like, here's, you know, Joe Blow the prospect. I think that it's going to be interesting to see what Vegas can pull out of them to not take Matt Murray.
Whoever they get for a goaltender for the Vegas placeholders will be very interesting. Although, if we do a technology trade special, don't worry. Even if the person is at work, you will make sure we have this on hand.
We have a trade to announce.
Yes. 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 and yes, Ian will be playing the role of Darren Drager and Bob McKenzie, if that were to take
place. Oh, yes. Let's not mention Ian Reid's name with either of those two esteemed gentlemen, please. I don't belong in the same sentence. But yeah, I'll be kicking around and telling you what's going on.
Yeah. No,
I won't break any insider info, but I can tell you what happens after the fact, just like everyone else.
What? What? No.
I don't have... What do you think? I'm going to be sitting here on my phone going, Jeff Merrick, please answer my tweet. Please answer my tweet.
That's both of us.
Jeff, tell me stuff. Please?
Please.
Pretty please?
Please.
Pretty please? No, that's not going to happen.
We'll just bug. We'll bug Gen X to bug them for us. Maybe we'll get them out there. Oh, my goodness. Nonetheless, again, it was another rainy day. So, Christine, I know you just said, like, all those flood alerts I got today, I want a Twade alert.
I'll start having our crack mobile team make an app for you guys.
Yes, yes, we'll get right. Mobile team. Shh, they don't need to know that. Gen X saying, you want me to have Merrick text you? Yes, yes,
yes,
and yes. Yes. I will DM my phone number right now as we speak.
Mine too.
Yes.
I need text.
No, don't give it to Ian. Oh, Ian!
Yeah, I think that, so I mean, there's some interesting things that I think have to happen to the trade deadline to get back on my thought. But whether those things actually happen or not, who knows? I mean, teams game the system all the time, so it'll be interesting to see. But I think the deadline is more intriguing only because of the expansion draft looming.
Yeah. Yeah, I just can't see. See, part of me senses that there's going to be moves to kind of get early on to avoid the mess that the expansion draft could be, but at the same thing, it's like,
I love it.
Oh, I mean, only two teams are pretty much done for in the entire league right now, because the entire Eastern Conference is still in contention, and Arizona and Colorado aren't. But hey, if they can convince Pavel Datsyuk to come back from Russia and Chris Pronger to come out of retirement, man, the Coyotes could make a quick rush in the end there.
Yeah.
So, all right. Kind of going through the chat, speaking of the app, you know, Chris says, I'm the only engineer at Pathology, and I don't have the time.
Oh, there okay, you
go. So sorry to disappoint you. Gen X says he'll have
I would talk to Kobe Armstrong.
Excellent. When is the expansion draft? I believe it's right before the entry draft, if I'm not mistaken.
I feel like, yeah, that's all blurred up. I don't even... Oh, that's going to be so busy for me.
Don't tempt me, dude.
I'd talk to Kobe Armstrong for hours.
All right.
Talk to anyone. Be my friend.
Yes. The 2017 NHL expansion draft will take place on June 18th through 20th, 27. Really, it's going to take them 3 days for them to figure this out, with the selections announced on June 21st. So we'll find. So man, oh man, Drager.
I'm curious if they're going to like. What I'm hoping is that the teams release who they're protecting before, so we can all, you know, take those lists and then really have some fun with it before the actual teams are announced.
See, here's the thing, though. You know there's going to be leaks up the wazoo. From whether it's from Kiprios or Drager or McKenzie or even, like, Curs or
oh, not Curs.
LA Kings insider. Shh. Come on, be nice.
Nice. Curs knows I love him.
Curs or Curs?
Both of them.
Okay, but really, they're going to have them take 3 days to decide 30 slots. That's interesting. That's real interesting.
They're gonna have to like cap it out and stuff like that. I look, man, sit down and actually try and do it. Like, even you know,
no, I mean, I've done a couple of them. I think I did.
It's one not fun. During... I mean, it takes forever. We did one for Writer's Room, and this was a while back now. But we did one for Writer's Room, and honestly, I think it took me like I'll sit down for an hour or two, and I'll get this all hammered out. It took me forever to get the thing hammered out. I mean, it was a fun show, but oh my god, I'm like, I still think I still have
the graphic for
somewhere.
Yeah, I have them somewhere here too. Let me see if I still have that. Oh yeah, I have Reed. There we are. Look at that. See, we're bringing more info than ever before, people. Yeah, this is Ian Reed, Golden Knights, which we use the hashtag. Hashtag puck those knights. Yeah, you went Kane, Camilleri, Wilson, Cody Eakin, Mac Reed. Hey, this is a pretty solid group here, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what it would look like now because of, you know, I mean, this was way back. So I'm sure I'd probably go back and change some of these now. But yeah, I think, or you know, some of these guys might not be, you know, might not be available. Like Evander Kane, I'm not sold that Evander Kane is going to be available in the Edge of Draft anymore.
I'm trying to figure out who your goaltenders were in here.
They're probably on another page because that's just my forwards.
Well, yeah, that's your forwards. Let me see if I can pull this up. Yep, there we go. Thank you. Oh, yeah, you had Murray, Ranton, and Wassois.
Yeah.
I said that right. Right? Yeah. TJ Brody, that's a good Cam Fowler. Oh, yeah, there's
again. I mean, like again, like I don't know if Cam Fowler is going to be available anymore. I mean, at first, you know, when we originally did these, you know, Evander Kane's super in the doghouse. Matt Murray, I took because you know, even though I don't expect him to be available when the expansion draft goes down, he's the best goalie on the board. You know, and then I kind of just went through everyone else here and just so I don't know, like is Cam Fowler going to be out there? I don't know. Be interesting to see what you take.
It's possible with all the no movement clauses that Anaheim has. I mean, they were talking about that on TSN 1040 today, where I mean, with all that, Anaheim is going to be exposing something big.
Oh, they're going to have to. And another team too is you know, Chicago's basically, they don't have any choices to make. I don't think they might get one choice based on their no movement clauses. I think that basically the no movement clauses basically make all their decisions for them. So they just have to sit there and hope that, you know, whoever, you know, they don't lose a significant enough piece.
Right. The irony if they lose Chalmerson. So, all right. Final thoughts, Mr. Reed? I think we're
we've beat this enough, haven't we? No, I look at, I mean, this game sucks, and this is two games now where, you know, this is 2 points, in my opinion. The Sharks have kind of flushed down the toilet.
Yep.
Let's hope this isn't a trend that continues. This is a month where they should be able to rack up the points, and they should be able to put teams away, and if they don't, then if they get passed in the standings, I mean, right now it seems like the Oilers are having a little bit of trouble and the Ducks are kind of hit or miss, but, you know, you can't count on that to last the rest of the season. So if you're going to blow a bunch of points this month and then go into March, I think things are scary, like miss the playoffs scary, but things definitely, you could end up in a much less favorable, position, you know, home ice advantage wise and whatnot. And I think that would be unfortunate because it's really, they're only going to have themselves to blame.
Yeah. I mean, this is the month that they should be playing pretty well.
Yep.
And like Chris says, you know, the game didn't suck, mostly just last 10 minutes, which is, yeah, that's true. Play like you did the first 50 consistently, you'll be fine. Absolutely. I think you just play, get back to your game, play solid goaltending, have puck possession. You did that a lot tonight. You can do that for a full 60 minutes. I mean, heck yeah. I think you should be fine. Albeit Boston is the next opponent, and they'll have... They're not good, but they'll have their new coach, and I don't have the record on me about when we go up against interim head coaches, but I'm sure they'll be psyched and ready to go for that game, for sure.
Yeah, you know what? I mean, it's funny. It's another coach, though, that is basically falling on the sword for shitty management.
Oh, you mean Don Sweeney?
Yeah.
Ugh, no, never.
Yeah, I think when you look at the, you know, I think you could make the case that Capuano was not a great coach, and I definitely hear that. But I think you look at Gallant as well. I think they're just, these guys are victims of some shitty management.
Yeah, no, completely agree. Boston's in a rough hole, but well, as we've seen tonight, you know, and you know, even with the Arizona Coyotes, that doesn't deter or anything. I mean, but you gotta nip this in the butt for sure. No doubt about it. I mean, they should take care of Boston, and then you got tough morning games against Philly and New Jersey back to back. So they gotta get that in check for sure. So final thoughts in the chat. Oh, and by the way, Connor McDavid, Group 2 RFA after the 2017-18 season. Suck it.
I heard him.
Yes. Yeah, that'll be interesting. yes. Yes, Chester. Jones has to play his former team on Thursday. Yep. That's true.
That's true. The Sharks are 0-11 bajillion facing backup head coaches.
Oh, man. That's hilarious. Oh, yes.
Oh, man. I don't know. We'll see what happens. I'm not too concerned. I'll be here all week, let's be honest.
That's true. He is an angry Canadian robot. We just need to put his backup batteries in and power him up.
Yeah, I'll be here on this after those crappy morning games.
Oh gosh. So of course, subscribe here. This is the live interactive Sharks post game show after every game. The only one in town, so make sure you subscribe. We'll do this throughout. I believe Chris said we were at 167 straight Sharks post game shows. Yes. For more info and Sharks news and opinions, visit Picknology.net. And, of course, follow all of our social media channels, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and, of course, the YouTube channel for Picknology Writers Room. Also, don't forget, if you missed any of this podcast tonight, you can also check it out on SoundCloud, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, TuneIn, MySpace, you name it, we have it.
It's Picknology After Brunch. Thank you very much.
That's right. You're gonna have Sharks breakfast, and then coming up it'll be Picknology After Brunch. Yes. Oh, that means I gotta waiting for the day for everyone has a lower third, like Mr. Turnick. Let's hope we can finally artistic enough. Oh, that's what you have me for. So with that, we'll get out of here. For Ian Reed, I'm Eric Curry. You can follow us on Twitter. I'm at PuckGuy14. He's at I read Picknology, R-E-I-D. Left swipe Ian on Tinder. Oh, wow, that's messed up. Picknology After Mimosas. There we go. Yes. And don't forget, there will be a Picknologist podcast that also comes out tomorrow or late tonight. They're actually recording that right now. So that'll be on after that. So you definitely have a lot of... podcast watching and listening to for next couple days. And plus also there's a bonus Friday night edition of the Picknologist, I believe, coming out But of course, before then, we will be back with you following Sharks and Bruins, where Jones and Jumbo, the Joe Thornton, will take on their former team, the Boston Bruins.
Doubleheader Sunday. Doubleheader Sunday. Because after the New Jersey game, we'll do Pucknology After Dark. And then later that evening, we will do Writer's Room as normal.
Just because we need to torment Ian Reed that much right. more during the weekend.
All right. I'm saying bye to everybody. Eric, run this down.
I am. So for Ian, I'm Eric. Have a great night. Keep it real. Keep it tight. Keep it real tight. And Ian's gone. He just left. I mean, he's like, gone. Oh, I guess I'll hit the stop test button. So have a great night, everyone. We'll see you on Thursday.